totally woke me up. Oh my God.
Can you imagine saying that to Rich Brody? Okay. All right. We gotta explain why we were laughing, but I'm definitely putting this in. Okay.
You're listening to Girls Gone Wild. You're listening to Girls Gone Wild. We're totally not drunk. You're listening to Girls Gone Wild
podcast, and Claire just something... Oh, gosh. Claire just said something that was so funny.
Wait, what episode is this? 33?
This is episode 33.
So we were just talking about podcast interviews and how we have a couple of things in the pipeline for doing some interviews, some like long distance interviews, but we've never interviewed anyone who is not sitting across the table from us. So we're trying to figure out the best way to do it without compromising sound quality. Yeah,
because we really like our sound quality.
Yeah. And we hope you guys appreciate that.
Yeah.
That, and you know, we don't have like the world's fanciest equipment. Like we're not like Barbell Shrugged where they have a huge studio,
which that is the dream. But for now we do what we can to make sound really good.
So I was saying, unless it's Rich Froning, in which case it's like, you know what, Rich Froning, just fart into the microphone. You can do whatever you want.
I don't care what you do. Yeah, you could just make fart noises.
Just make fart noises. We will accept that.
And then I just lost it. And then I was laughing so hard that I felt like we just needed to hit record and get this show on the road. Because that tends to be what happens, is we'll just start talking. And like, we really should just be recording all of this.
Yes.
So I hit record and this is...
And here we are.
Here we are.
Lucky you guys.
Lucky you. Episode 33. So yes, this is Girls Gone Wild Podcast. And this is Joy. Welcome. And that is Claire.
I am Claire.
And... we're going to have another therapy session tonight. I think it's time.
Yep.
I feel it coming on.
First of all, I would like to announce that I signed up for the Open.
I was just going to ask you about that. Did I badger you into it with all my posts about the Open?
You did. I was like, Joy is posting these to me. Like the one you posted yesterday, I was like, yeah. Joy.
I was hoping you'd get that.
That was me.
I like to talk to Claire through our Instagram and our Facebook page. I like to just send her like little message, like cryptic messages. And I'll be like, hashtag, hi, Claire.
I like the one that you posted the other day of your New York Marathon hat. And I was like, hashtag, this clearly is not from Claire.
Yeah. Clearly not posted by Claire.
Clearly not posted by Claire.
I wonder how many times you would fall if you ran a marathon.
Oh, my gosh. A lot of times.
I wonder if your knees would make it. Skin knees.
I think it would depend on what kind of terrain we were on. See, here's the ironic thing is that when I'm trail running, I don't fall. But I think it's because I'm like keeping an eye out for it.
Yeah.
Like I'm, you know.
Okay, you're like very aware.
Right, I'm aware that it's uneven. Yeah. The problem is when it's like on a sidewalk and the sidewalk is uneven. And I'm like, but the sidewalk should be even. Why? No.
Did you guys do sprints today? For the warm-up before you guys started.
I kind of wish we had done sprints. Well, all we did was, like, leg swings.
I was laughing because we did sprints this morning beforehand, but it's so dark outside that I literally was, like, lifting my legs up really high. I'm like, I look like a horse right now. It's really funny.
I kind of wish that we had done more warm-up, but we didn't do very much. We did a lot of... warming up of literally the front squat.
Yeah.
But we like more or less went right. We did like some leg swings and we just went right into front squat. Yeah. So I was like, I needed some shoulders.
Yeah.
For those clean and jerks.
It was so weird because Monday I did the noon workout because I had the day off and like, wow, it's amazing like how much different you feel and how much more warm you feel when you work out in the middle of the day.
Yeah, when you work out after the sun comes up.
Yeah.
And your life's going to suck in like 2 weeks too when daylight savings time happens.
I know.
Yeah, that sucks.
Well, I'm trying to plan that now because I was signing up for the early WODs in the next couple weeks. I'm like, no, because the Open's going to be here and I'm going to not want to do the Open at 5:30 a.m.
No, you're not.
It's just not going to happen.
I know that. So,
what was the decision to sign up? What finally got you?
Well, did you see the email that TJ sent out?
Yes.
So that was kind of like what finally got me I was like, you know what? It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, so TJ's our gym owner, and he basically was just kind of saying, you know, everyone does this, and we kind of band
really
together,
and it's a group thing.
And
it's kind of, and so that kind of was like, I think that I've just, in my mind, been making it into this big deal of like, ugh, I don't want to, like, what's the point? Like, I'm not competitive. Like, it's not a big deal. You know, like, why am I making it such a big deal? And then he sent out that email, and I remembered, like, you know what? It's not a big deal. I'm just turning it into a big deal, and it's $20. Like, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And why not? So
did you listen to the Barbell Shrugged episode?
I didn't actually. Oh.
They just made some really good.
I don't think I've ever listened to a bar. No, I have one time.
Don't say that. They listened to our.
I don't think they did either. I listened to the Diane Fu one because I love.
Oh,
her.
Okay.
Mostly yeah. Because I want to be Diane Fu.
Yeah, I want to be all the. I want to be every single one of the Barbell Shrugged boys. That's just.
You want to be them?
I want to be them. Yeah.
I think it's slightly.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. That's just because they've met Rich Froning.
Ugh, so mad. Rich Froning does their intro.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're sponsored by Progenix.
Yeah.
If we were sponsored by anyone.
Hello, anyone out there?
Other than, if we had to be, what are we sponsored by? I mean, if we had to like, JT.
JT. Not Justin Timberlake.
Nope. JT the dog.
The dog.
We should get JT. We should put a girl Samoa tank top on him sometime.
We should. That'd be adorbs. That sweet boy.
He should come to the party.
Maybe. Yes, I will think about that. Because then I would have to like manage him. Yeah.
Maybe just. What if you could bring him? Does he have a crate?
Yeah.
What if you just like let him out for a little while and then like put him in his crate?
That's a good idea. I have a little portable crate. I can really do that.
You could also just put it in the back room and he can just hang out.
Okay. Done.
Done.
What else was I going to say? Oh, so the Barbell Shrugged guys had this episode. It was actually recorded last November, but they covered all these really great points about why you should sign up for the Open. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really cool. And so that's why I posted it. Because I was like, I hope you listen, because it really did make a lot of sense. Where they're like, in the grand scheme of things, $20, I mean, to run that website alone.
Oh, yeah.
For all those people to register for the Open must cost $100,000.
Oh, and they redid the whole thing this year. It looks really good, actually, this year.
So, I mean, not just that, but if people were like moaning and groaning about the cost of it, it's like $20 is nothing when they're trying to manage this huge website. And where else can you compare your score to everyone else in the world?
Like, did you see that this year, you know, that the Colorado Open, that big competition that happens, it's basically like,
yes,
you know what I'm talking about?
Hold on. Keep talking. I have to turn this switch off. Yeah. It's driving me crazy.
Joy has a heater that's right under this room. As you can tell, once again, with our very sophisticated... This is one of those things that we do where we're like, oh my God, JT's snoring, and everyone's like, we can't.
No one knows, but totally notice. So, okay.
But...
The Colorado Open.
The Colorado Open is, like, basically the... I would say it's probably, like, the most well-known professional, semi-professional competition out that's not, like... CrossFit, you know, like CrossFit.com sponsored in Colorado. And Colorado is a competitive state.
Yeah.
But it's $200 per person this year.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, races are at least $80 for any half marathon or marathon. So you think about it that way, where it's like, you know, the entry fee is really not that much.
But can you also, I mean, to,
you get to work out at your own gym. You get to compare your scores to everyone in the world.
Oh, yeah. So it's, and so the money really wasn't the deterrent. It was more just like, why do I even need to like go through the formality of this? And then I was like, whatever. And then I also kind of thought, like, you know what? If I'm gonna be as involved as I am in the CrossFit community, it's so dumb for me to like put my put my flag in the sand about this.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I'm doing the Open.
So you're there.
Well, and my whole thing the whole time was like, I'm gonna do the workouts. Why even sign up?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, I'm gonna do the workouts. Why not sign up?
Yeah. Well, then I'm thinking, TJ's programming all this really difficult stuff right now to condition us for the Open. So you're ready.
Yeah, something like that.
You're ready to go.
Ugh. It starts next
week. I'm proud of you.
The Open is next week.
I know.
We're going to have to do... We should live blog the announcements.
We should.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Our reactions so everybody knows.
OMG.
Oh my gosh.
I just hope that that someday it's just like a 15 minute AMRAP of Annie.
Yeah. That would be your dream come true.
I would just love my life.
You would be in the games.
I would, right? I'd be like, I'd be like the
Bring
one thing.
It on.
Last year at the CrossFit Games when we went, I think I might have told you this, the RX like jump rope booth or whatever had this competition where it was like modified flight simulator, but so you went up by fives, but only up to 25. Uh-huh. But in between each round, you had to do 5 burpees. And I held the high score for, like, the majority of the first day. And I felt so good about myself. I was like, take that, all you other CrossFitters.
Yeah.
I can't do anything. Yeah. And I am killing it at the burpees and double unders. Because everyone else got up there, and it was like, you could tell that they were, you know, were way more heavy hitters than I was. Yeah. But they just choked. And that's like, feeling. My one thing is I just don't choke on double unders.
Yeah. Ever. No, you don't ever.
It's great.
Yeah.
Now that I say that, I'm going to like go in tomorrow and I'm not going to have double unders anymore.
You know what I'm feeling? I'm really feeling toes to bar these days.
Yeah, you brought that up.
Yeah, I think I talked about that last week.
I have still never done a toes to bar.
And you know what really helps is those natural grip things.
Really?
Yes. They totally help. Andrew, one of the guys at our gym, posted a picture of his torn up hands this morning on Facebook, which... Yeah. By the way, you guys, I don't really love
the torn hands photos.
I think I did one last year on my own personal Instagram. Just not a fan. I think it is so scarring to be scrolling through Facebook and see like this picture of like someone's like bruised knee or like this huge gash that they like. Don't ever post gashes or like.
Oh my God, Joy.
What?
I don't even know how to tell you what I'm seeing on Instagram right now. So sometimes, guys, I go on Instagram while we're on the podcast. Rich Froning got a puppy.
I can't even take it. Oh my gosh. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Family, the Skipper, his newest member is called the Skipper.
Yep. Newest member of the Froning family right there.
Newest member of the Froning family, the Skipper. And he is the cutest.
His live reaction
looks
right there.
Like a black lab or even maybe a labradoodle of some sort. Like the my heart almost stopped
it
just now.
It is really cute.
Oh my God. So cute. Oh, okay. You give Rich Froning a puppy.
And you're gonna get that reaction from Joy.
Can you see him just, like, now I'm picturing him just holding the puppy and, like, it's sleeping on his chest. Are you kidding me?
His giant man boobs.
Oh, my gosh.
Too much.
And
too
the
much
little
for
puppy
Joy.
Licking his face. Okay, now it's weird. Okay, what were we even talking about?
Hard to say.
I don't even remember. I really, really hope even though I tagged him on that Instagram post today, I'm like, I really hope he doesn't ever hear anything we say. And I really hope he never looks at our Facebook page. No. And I really hope he never, everything I post, I'm banking on the fact that he never sees it.
I fully agree. Oh my God. I feel that way a little bit about Christmas Abbott too, even though she does sometimes see our stuff.
Oh,
I'm like,
totally does.
I hope that sometime that you never listen to this and you're like, just how big of a huge nerd I am.
Yeah. And you just keep thinking that we're really cool girls.
Yeah.
That's what she thinks right now.
Yeah, we're totally cool. We're totally awesome.
She's liked a lot of our Instagram posts.
And every time she likes one of our Instagram posts, it like makes my day.
It just fires us into a text.
Like, man, I am so good at Instagram.
Yeah, we just like, we go off on a texting tangent and talk and we're just like, did you see what she just said?
OMG. Okay.
Okay. I don't even remember.
Back to reality.
Don't even know what reality is at this point.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I think we were talking about the open.
Hard telling, not knowing. I think we were. I don't even know anymore.
It's really hard to go back in time.
It's only been 13 minutes of this episode. Sorry, a shit show.
That picture was so cute. You guys all have to look at Rich Froning.
We'll repost it. Oh, I'm going to repost it right now. Repost app.
The Skipper.
Oh my gosh. Skipper. Anyway, okay. So
the open, toes to bar.
Yeah.
We're talking about toes to bar.
You're talking about how people put their torn hands on.
So don't post gross pictures of like scrapes and cuts and torn up hands, because that just completely shocks me when I'm going through Instagram feeds. I think it's I didn't want to see that. But Andrew posted a picture of his torn up hands and I was like, if only you had the natural grip. because that has been such a game changer. But I have found, and I told TJ this the other day, I was like, because we've been doing so much hollow rock, we've been doing all these drills where we do Superman and hollow rock Tabata.
Yeah.
And that has been awesome for core strength. And I always
hated doing hollow rock because it hurts so bad. And I noticed a huge difference on my toes to bar now. So, and then we did knees to elbow this morning for the WOD. So that's been super, super helpful in speeding that up. Because I think last year there was an open workout that had a bunch, I want to say it was like thrusters and toes to bar. And I just remember tanking.
And toes to bar?
I think it was toes to bar. I really.
No. Unless it was like the last one.
I'm pretty sure it was the last one because Will, what's his name? From Bill Will, William Hill.
I have no idea William. What you're talking about.
He has a name that sounds like his first name and last name rhyme. I think it's William Hill, Will Hill. He coached at another gym, but he subbed because TJ was out of town.
Oh, Bill.
Bill Hill.
Yeah.
William Hill.
Yeah, and I wasn't there for that one.
Yeah, so he coached me on that one. I remember toes to bar because he was coaching me on how to link a bunch of them because I sucked so bad and I would just do one at a time.
Okay.
So now I'm at a point where I can really link them and it feels so good to get to that point. Cause I mean, honestly, there's a lot of things I think we each have our weaknesses, right? But there are some things with me with weaknesses where I'm like, I don't think I'll ever be good at it. I don't think I'll ever master rowing, which actually I feel like I've with little tips here and there, TJ helped me the other day.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm like, I can never break a certain time when I row. Like,
what's your
I feel
time?
I think my split's like 205 or 210.
Really?
I swear.
Because I'm like 207.
I know. I cannot get faster. I can't.
Interesting.
I mean, I can, but I feel like I have tried. Like I feel like I've tried so many different things and I cannot break it. So those are the things where I feel like, oh my gosh, when you see progress, it's so fun. It's so fun to see that. All right. So let's talk about an email that we got recently from a listener. And she just brought up a really good question that I think we've discussed in previous episodes, but I think it's worth talking about just because she had an incident where her best friend asked her if she could just stop gaining more muscle and just maintain. And I'm going to read the email. She said, I was getting too bulky and I needed to look softer because it didn't look good. I looked too masculine. So she goes on to kind of talk about how she responded and she's like, any ideas on ways to combat these hurtful, although meant with good intentions, comments? And her email is a lot longer and kind of explaining like where she's at in her life. But I think the main thing is I think it really goes back to a lot of the discussion we've already have of like how people perceive women and what our bodies are supposed to look like. And I think we addressed this probably in like one of the first episodes we ever did was about body image and how CrossFit has really
changed
the game. And like we look at ourselves differently and being strong versus being skinny versus whatever. But what struck me about her email was a lot of this whole, what other people think of me and whatever people's attitudes are is really none of my business. And if they want to say something like that, you can. First of all, I think it's rude. If someone says,
I feel like there's a huge double standard in the world basically kind of right now about what is okay and what isn't okay to say to someone about their body. First of all, in my opinion, it is never okay to say anything to anyone about their body unless it's, oh my God, you look so good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever okay to tell someone you need to lose weight. Clearly. See, that's the thing is no one would ever walk up to someone who's overweight and be like, oh my God, you look terrible. You need to lose weight.
Right.
But it's somehow okay to walk up to someone who you perceive as underweight and say, oh my God, you're so skinny. You need to eat.
Right.
And apparently it's okay to walk up to somebody who's muscular and say, oh my gosh, you look really masculine. You need to stop weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, what, just how could you, how would you, my initial reaction to that was just like, what?
Yeah.
Why? You know, regardless of whether or not that person understands weightlifting, how could you ever say something to someone like that? Like, oh my gosh, you look so whatever. You need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Unless it's like literally someone who knows you well and is like, hey, and comes at it from a place like, hey, I'm really concerned about you. I think you have an eating disorder.
Right.
Or like, hey, I'm really concerned about you because your teeth are falling out or, you know, you need to stop doing meth or, you know, like, you know what I mean? But it's like, you can't just talk to someone.
Don't
like,
do meth.
You can't just talk to someone and be like, oh my God, you look really masculine. Can you stop lifting weights? Like, you're gaining too much muscle. Like, what? Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That just, oh. I saw this thing. This is somewhat relevant. And I loved it. It was on the Paleo Parents. Stacey posted it. Mm-hmm. I love Stacey. She's so cute. And she said that she posted this kind of disclaimer, and she was like, you know, I know that I've been posting a lot of things about strong women training, and I just wanted to be, and I think it's been kind of intimidating. I just wanted to be clear that, like, I don't, you know, if strong woman training is not for you, it's totally your own deal. And, you know, if you do CrossFit or if you run or if you whatever, like, find your own thing, you know, find what works for you and go with it. And we, you know, I hope try to get that message across too, is like, you know, CrossFit isn't for everybody. We love it, but yeah. if it's not for you, then that's fine. Just like find what you love and do it. And that for us happens to be CrossFit. And her closing line was, some people are meant to go, her husband told this to her, some people are built to go fast, some people are built to go far, and some people are meant to pick those other people up. Some people are built to pick those other people up.
Yeah.
That was so funny. Well, but it's just like, I just can't imagine someone saying that to me.
Well, what struck me too in her email is, I think there's a lot of things going on, but she mentioned that people have said this to her multiple times. Mm-hmm. And to that I say, you might want to look at getting some friends that support you.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't imagine if one of my friends said, oh, you look too bulky.
Oh my God, I would punch them in the face.
I'd be like, let me show you what this bulky can do.
I mean, seriously, if one of my friends said that.
I'll pick you up.
First of all, none of my close friends. Yeah. I can't even imagine a close friend of mine saying that to me. And if they did, my reaction to them would not feel bad at all turning around and being like, what the hell are you talking about? I feel great. You need to, you know, like, you need to worry about yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they would immediately be like, you're right, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that I would be like, what can I do to, you know, I would just
Here's the other thing is, I like to live by this saying of 90% of life is transference, where everything that people either say to you or do to you is really about mm-hmm. them and not us. And one of the pictures we posted on our Facebook page was, people will love you, people will hate you, and none of it has anything to do with you. Mm-hmm. And it really is, it's exactly like that. So how much you let those comments get to you really is our work. It's our own personal work to say, okay, I hear what that comment is, but don't let that seep in. You have to live your life for you and what feels right for you, and screw what anyone else says.
Yeah.
Like you said, with reason, if it's something where you obviously have a concern, then that's different. But if someone's making a comment about your health and your fitness and how you want to be and how you want to look, that has everything to do with what you want in your life. It has nothing to do with what other people want. So if they have an opinion about what's too muscular, what's too bulky, whatever, that's their opinion. That's fine. And they can keep their opinions to themselves.
Quite frankly, they should keep their opinions to
themselves. Yeah. And that's probably what I would say. I would say, thank you, but I respectfully disagree. And
Well, and also I just feel like in this circumstance, and once again, you know, if you're being unhealthy, that's another conversation, but in this circumstance, you know, because I believe in her email, she said, you know, like, I don't know what to say because I feel great. You know, like, I feel really healthy and I feel, you know, whatever. I feel good. And for you to just, you know, even turn the conversation to, like, listen, you know, I could see why you would think that, but I'm really happy with my body and I feel really healthy and I just want you to be happy for me that I found something that improves my health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not worried about how I may look in the process. And I think I look strong and I think I look capable. And, you know, your perception of me being masculine is not something I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want you to be happy that I have found something that makes me healthy.
And people are going to project their insecurities on you.
Yeah.
All the time. And especially people who are maybe feeling a little more insecure, they're going to just project that crap all over you.
Yeah, and what is it you always say about, like, especially, like, you use this example with paleo, with, like, the people who are trying to, like, kind of make fun of you are the people, are probably the people who wish they could do that.
Exactly.
It's like, and they, you know, that may also be kind of her way of justifying, like, well, I'm not going to lift weights because I don't want to look, like, masculine like you do.
Mm-hmm. When what they're really doing is just kind of working out their own insecurities by telling you how you should look, where it's just they don't want to face their own stuff. Yeah. But whatever. Yeah. So I think the point really is to do what makes you happy, like we've always said. And mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what you look if you're fit and you're healthy. And if other people are going to be rude, I would just be, I'd say I respectfully don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I also think that, like, it is important. I kind of had a wake up call a couple a while ago, like a couple months ago maybe, about something somebody posted about being bulky, where I was like, you know, I always have been like, my biggest pet peeve is when girls say, I don't want to get bulky. And right. It's like, if that's your main concern, then there are maybe other issues going on. But at the same time, you know, you do need to be happy with the way you look within, you know, a healthy range. And so like, if it were bothering her, if she were, you know, looking in the mirror and being like, wow, you know, like, I really don't feel like my feminine clothes fit me well anymore, you know, I feel like, then that would be one thing. But to have somebody come up to you and be like, can you just stop gaining muscle? Like, I literally would punch someone. Mm-hmm. I can't even fathom what I would do if someone said that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
There was this, do you follow Gabby?
Bernstein? No.
Hoffman?
Nope.
Gabby's gluten-free.
No. Gabby, yeah.
She's the cutest. Uh-huh. She posted something today about how she went to Starbucks and ordered a black coffee with heavy cream.
Oh, yeah.
And the girls behind her were like, oh, my God, that heavy cream is so fattening. And then they went up and ordered, like, light mocha frappuccino, you know, with, like, skim milk and low fat. And
with pumps of chocolate.
Right, exactly. Basically, like, a little cup full of chemicals.
Yeah.
And she was just like, you know, you just.
Yeah.
They're, I don't know.
Yeah.
I laughed at that. She's like, there's just so much misinformation about what we're supposed to be doing.
Can I just, something that popped in my head about just being twisted and things that like really get under my skin. Have you been watching the Olympics?
Mm-mm, not really.
That's right. You don't really watch TV, right?
I don't have any TV. So, I watch it. I've like caught it here and there.
Well, it has little to do with the Olympics and more to do with the commercials of the Olympics. Okay. So there's this McDonald's commercial that it's, Scott, my husband, was so funny because the first time I watched it, he was watching it to watching me to watch my reaction. He knew it was coming, and then he saw my reaction. He's like, I knew you were going to say that.
Oh my God.
So basically what it is all these Olympians with their medals in their mouth, and it's almost like they're biting it, like, you know, right, like you bite a coin, and it's like they have their medals, and then it turns into these people biting a chicken nugget, and it's like a picture of someone with their gold medal in their mouth, right, like biting it, and then a big nugget, chicken nugget. And I'm like, it was this amazing commercial up until that point where people start biting into chicken nuggets.
Can I tell you something? I had chicken nuggets last week,
Claire. You had McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Okay, here's what happened. Yes. I was on my way over. So it was late and I was hungry and I had already passed two McDonald's and I was like, I have to go. I got a Happy Meal though. I only had four.
Okay.
And I got a toy. I got a cup. It's a Lego. It's like a Lego. It's like a hologram. It's so cool.
I really want to see the Lego movie too.
Oh my gosh. I would go see that with you. You know what I still haven't seen? Frozen.
Oh, I thought for sure you have seen that like 20 times by now. I need to see that and the Lego movie. Okay.
Anyway.
So that chaps my hide. That was, okay. So.
That's, yeah, no.
You went and had chicken nuggets.
But that was like, I'm not like, not, you know, that was the first time I've had chicken McNuggets probably in 2 years.
Chicken McNuggets?
Chicken McNuggets.
I haven't called it a McNugget in forever.
Well, that's what it is.
I know.
But that's ridiculous. And anyway, the fact that McDonald's is like one of the title sponsors of the American Olympic team is like, really?
Don't even get me started.
What are we telling people?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I read this thing about Lolo Jones, who is, you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
How she, which I love her story. She was an Olympic sprinter, right? Mm-hmm. And she like kind of pooped out of the last Olympics. Everyone was like, your career's over. So she turned around, gained 30 pounds of muscle, and joined the bobsled team, which I think is so badass.
Yeah.
I think if I could be an Olympian, I would want to be a bobsledder.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I could like be the little one that fits in the front.
You probably could.
I bet I could.
Yeah.
But I read this
article. Especially if you do what you just did.
Yeah. That's exactly the position.
Yeah.
Like this.
Claire's
I
doing
wish you could
the,
see what, I wish you guys Claire's could all doing, see my bobsled position.
This is why we need to be like the barbell shrugged guys, because now they record everything.
Yeah, video.
But then that would might require us to have to like
put pants on. Not that I'm not wearing pants. That's awkward.
The pantless podcast.
Oh my God. Why did we not name it that?
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to the Bob's. Anyway, so I read this story about her, I don't know, last week about her diet for how she gained all that weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about how she eats two double bacon cheeseburgers from McDonald's every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I just feel like there's something that you like, whether or not you actually do that, I'm so worried that people who are not literally training for 9 hours a day are going to read that and be like, see, Lolo Jones eats double bacon making cheeseburgers. It's like, ugh, it drives me nuts.
I know. Especially because it's like,
Olympics.
The Olympics, they're so healthy. And then right. it's well, just and like, McDonald's. It's like when, everything's when, McDonald's.
When Michael Phelps, you know, they were saying like Michael Phelps eats 8,000 calories a day. He goes to McDonald's four times a day. It's like Michael Phelps is in the pool for 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, well, Michael Phelps eats Big Macs. I was like, oh my God, you cannot compare yourself.
You're not an Olympian.
Right.
Sorry.
You cannot compare okay. yourself to
yeah.
Michael Phelps.
So those are all the things that were annoying me this week. And then as far, I think we've covered the issue of what people think about you.
I would be interested to know if you guys have ever
you know what?
Had someone ask you to like blatantly say to you, whether or not you know them, but especially if you know them, especially if they're your close friend.
Yeah.
Say to you like, you know, can you just stop getting muscular?
You know what we should do with those people? I'm not threatening. Oh, I just had this vision of, you know how like when you go to a store mm-hmm. and people write bad checks and they post all the people who've written bad checks?
Oh my gosh. So if you have someone who
you send them to a photo and we're going to be like, this person hates muscular people.
Oh my gosh. No, that's terrible. We'll black out their eyes though, like they do it yeah. like with a bar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We can just blur out their faces.
Have them send us an email, and we'll have a nice we'll talk to them.
Oh my gosh.
No, we won't.
Send them to the principal's office.
Yeah.
That just drives me nuts.
I know.
Ugh.
Okay. So.
Don't judge. It's
no
me.
Judgment.
Except for if you're me or Joy. Apparently, we're allowed to judge because we've just been doing that this whole time.
We are.
Oh Lord. What are you gonna do?
We are exempt. So let's talk about some life stuff.
Life stuff.
What's going on, Claire Bear?
What's going on in Claire's life?
What's going on with the LSAT?
Oh gosh, you guys.
Legally Blonde?
Yep.
Did you get inspired?
I did. I totally got inspired. I actually, the other day I was watching that scene for some reason. What was I doing?
The bend and snap?
Oh, that's what it was. You posted the bend and snap. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I have to watch that scene where she is in the courtroom and she's like, isn't it the number one rule of perm maintenance that you are forbidden to wet your hair for at least 24 hours at the risk of deactivating the potassium glycocalate, like what is it called?
Glycothalate or something.
The potassium glycocalate or something. And I watched that scene. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to go to law school. No.
I know.
Yeah.
I love when her friends are in the courtroom.
And and they're like,
vote for L.
And when the judge is like, I think we've established that she was in the shower. And and her friends are like, oh. I love it. That's so great.
It's great.
Anyway.
So that's what brought you to the LSAT.
Yep. Yeah. That's totally what happened.
Yeah.
I've just kind of been looking for something to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love marketing.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. I don't want to have a career that's based around a product
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, like whether it's sales or, you know, like I don't want to be a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go to business school. I really don't want to go to business school because then I have to take calculus. That would suck.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
Yeah. And so I kind of started looking into like what grad school and what I could do. And there is actually a grad program that I'm also looking at DU. They have a master's in public policy. But back up. When I went to undergrad, I minored in landscape ecology, which was basically like a minor in land use policy.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really similar actually to English because all you're doing are like reading a body of work and looking for patterns, which is exactly what English is. And I loved English. But I don't want to be a literature scholar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was reading, you know, about, like, English master's programs. And, oh, my God. I almost just, like, I couldn't even. It was like, and then you pick a focus in your, you know, so you can write your thesis. Like, example focuses are British literature, you know, the works of William Shakespeare in the second half of his life. I was like, oh, my God. I would.
No. You just fell asleep reading that sentence?
No.
Yeah.
So, no. That is not what I want to do. And, like, that was the thing, always my thing, is, like, I love reading and I love writing.
Mm-hmm.
I just hated that. Like, if I could go back in time and chop off Jane Austen's hands to keep a Huber from writing anything.
I remember you said that.
I mean, it would set back women's rights for generations. Yeah. But, oh, my God, I can't.
Right.
If I have to read one more Jane Austen. Or for Jane Austen. Keep Jane Austen. Virginia Woolf. Just want to stab her. That's my angst about the English literature. But, So I started, long story short, this is actually the long version of my long story. I started looking into what I would need to do to kind of get a job in policy, and yeah, I don't know. So,
well, now you're taking the LSAT.
No, I'm going to take the LSAT, maybe.
Just to do it.
Well, so here's the thing. You don't really take the LSAT just to do it. You have to study for like a year.
Yeah.
So I would take the LSAT. It's also not like the GRE where you can just sort of like take it whenever. They only administer it, I want to say, 3 times a year. Like once in the late spring, once in the fall, and once in December.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would take it in December. So in like 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or 9 months, whatever. And then apply for law school, like submit my application early next spring, and then I wouldn't at the earliest start until like next fall.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. So right now I'm trying to not overwhelm myself with questions. I'm just looking at I bought an LSAT book. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna start to like digest some of the LSAT material and start to decide, could I take the LSAT? So that's my first.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of people go to law school. First of all, I think there are a lot of people who go to law school because they have this like specific thing they want to do in mind, but they're like, I want to do this thing, but I'm not sure if I could handle law school.
Yeah.
And then there are a lot of people who are like, I don't know what I want to do, but I feel like I need, like, law school will let me go somewhere.
Yeah.
Whereas
it'll provide a path.
Right. Yeah. Whereas I like have a pretty good idea of what I want to do, and I think I would love law school.
I think you would too.
So
I could totally see you doing it.
Yeah. So we'll see. Anyway, what about you?
Well,
that's my life.
Yeah. I want to bounce something off of you. And this is kind of like a little therapy session. So sorry if you guys are like, this is too much. So I realized lately that, you know, you're in your 20s and you go to school or you go to grad school,
mm-hmm.
and you get married, and then you get a job and you're like securing your job.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, so now what do I do? And I'm at that point where I'm like, something else has to happen, but I don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
And
you did all those steps.
We did all those steps, and now it's kind of like,
Well, and you already, even though professionally you're still pretty young, you already have like a really pretty high-ranking job.
Yes.
Like the director of something.
Yes. Yeah. Which is very rare to have it at my age. So it's kind of like, I should probably be in this position when I'm 40 to 45.
Right.
Like, technically, I probably should not be in this position, but thankfully I am. It's
right.
It's a really good problem to have. And, you know, I think we mentioned last, I don't know, 10 episodes prior where we talked about our goals and I thought about like pursuing my PhD. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of still on the table, but, and I've like for the first time in my life, I can't make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like in the past I've had like really good avenues of, this is pretty much where I can see myself going, and I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And it's been a pretty clear cut path.
Mm-hmm.
Where now I feel like there's a lot of ifs and just vague ideas in the air, and I don't know which way to go. It feels like a little lost.
Yeah.
I don't really want to talk about too much of like the kid aspect, because that's kind of, it's a little too personal to talk about, but like, I don't know if that's going to be something that
As in you having kids.
As in us having, in me and Scott having kids, but that's not something we've really been like yes or no on.
Right.
It's just kind of like,
kind of getting to a point where you kind of need to make the call.
Yeah, because we're both 36. So,
right.
So that's something where I'm like, how do you get to a point where you like just like decide or make a decision and just go with it? And I think a lot of it is in that in and of itself, is just making a decision and then figuring it out.
I think that that's something that I have heard a lot lately. And you know, like when you have something in your mind, like different people and different messages and different things sort of start to seem like they all have a central theme because you're sort of like looking for it.
Yeah.
So like, for example, you know, like if you are thinking about getting a new job, then all of a sudden sort of everything you read and all the comments that you hear, you sort of start sounding like, it's time to look for new opportunities.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So something that I feel like I've been hearing a lot is like, you're never going to be ready. Like, there's never going to be a point where you have all your ducks in a row and you can just say, you know, all my boxes are checked and I'm ready to go on to the next thing. And I think that that's something that you get really in, especially with like in kind of more of like an academic career, you get so used to having these like very clear starting and ending points.
Exactly.
But I think this was something that Brandon and I went this like we had this conversation right like kind of as we were starting to get engaged, like as we, you know, like right leading up to us getting engaged,
right,
was sort of this like, you know, you can be 90% sure, but you're almost never going to be 100% sure. Like you're never going to be able to know 100% of the variables.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to kind of decide like, I'm 90% sure this is the right choice. And I am ready to be flexible with the other 10%.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you can't, and like, that's kind of the way I'm, you know, kind of trying to start looking at law school is like, you know, I don't know that if I go to law school, I'm not going to end up with $100,000 in debt that, and it, you know, a job in marketing again.
Right.
But if I don't, if I stay in marketing, then I'm definitely going to, you know, then that's where I'll be.
Right.
And it's like, you know, you don't necessarily have to make that big of a decision mm-hmm. at any one time. But I think like
yeah.
when it comes to anything, it just is so hard. You have to finally get to a point where you realize like, okay, I know everything I can know. And, you know, that doesn't mean being impulsive.
Right.
By any means. Because you can really, like, research something. You can really get a good feel for something. But at the end of the day, I think very rarely will you find yourself in a position where you are just like, this is, I'm 100% sure this is what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And I think that people, you know, have gut feelings mm-hmm. where you can, but even still, that's more like, I'm 100% sure that my gut is telling me this is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that still is not, I'm 100% sure that this is the right choice.
No, I don't think that. Yeah. And I hear what you're saying. And I think a lot of the times when you do make a decision, you start to figure it out. So yeah. I think what I've been feeling is just a stagnation with some things, not everything, but mm-hmm. I have this picture on my screensaver at work because one of my supervisors, someone who I consult with for like supervisory advice was like, he's like, your position in life and a lot of the things that I do at work is like a guy who is on a unicycle in the air on a tightrope. He's like, if you stop moving, you're going to fall.
Yeah.
So he's like, you have to keep moving. So that's what I've been really focused on is just not focusing on the stagnation.
Right.
Because that will get me nowhere.
Right.
But to focus on just keep moving and keep looking for signs and keep looking for ideas and things that kind of interest me and think outside the box because I've been in this position for so long. So it's kind of like, what else is something that really, really, you know, makes me happy to think about or really, really is interesting to me or what have you. And there's a million and one things that I think that could satisfy that, but it's just like right here, right now, what is it that is going to lead me towards a path of like the next phase?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if, is that the what how I should be phrasing it, but like what's the next step for me? What's the next phase of like
growth? Well, I think too, like not to once again get too personal, but like it's kind of hard when you're thinking, well, and I mean, because like Brandon and I are already starting to talk about having kids.
Yeah.
And because we both like kind of early on decided like we want to be young parents, not super young. He's already 29.
Yeah.
But like, and I'm, you know, 26, but it's like if I go to law school in a year and a half, I'm going to be 30 before we can even start thinking about having kids. And my thought was always like, I want to be in my early 30s at the latest when I start having kids, not when I, but, and so it's kind of, we're kind of thinking like, well, if I go to law school, then he'll have to wait to go to PA school and then we're going to have $250,000 of debt. And it's just like, you know, but like
you're thinking like the logistics of it.
Yeah. It's like, you can't go down that path.
Right.
You have to just decide like, I'm going to do this and we're going to make it work. And the one thing that I keep going back to is like when Brandon and I moved to Denver, we did not have a dollar in the bank.
Yeah.
Neither of us had jobs. You know, like I would have, if I was where I am now mentally, never in a million years would I have made that decision. We left Moab with 3 months left on a lease that we weren't going to use, that we still had to pay for.
Yeah.
I came out here 6 weeks before Brandon even did for an internship where I was getting paid $200 a month.
Oh my God.
Full time. So I couldn't even get another job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With no promise of, you know, continuing employment. Yeah. Looking for Outward Bound of all things.
Yeah.
You know, which I thought I wanted to be a nonprofit program director.
Right.
But then Outward Bound more or less kind of went bankrupt for a little while. And, or at least the Colorado branch. Anyway, and I kind of just keep looking back at that and thinking, like, what we made it work. But if we had sat down for 1 minute and been like, we have no money, we're about to go pay.
Think about the
right.
That's the logistics a really good point, actually. Like, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about, like, when I was in grad school. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's like, we came out here, like, literally, I had, like, I remember when Brandon first came out. So I moved out here, like, at the end of August. He came out in the, at the, like, middle of October after the river season was over. And I remember he came out and brought all the food that we had left over in our Moab house. We sat down in our living room and we laid out all the food we had.
Yeah.
And we were like, this has to last us for the next 4 weeks. And we, like, made meal plans with, like, when we were talking bags of dried beans that we had inherited from River Stash. You know, it's like, like, we were, like, full on in, like, ration mode.
Just make it work.
And it's just, and we made it work.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was, like, it wasn't fun. It was really stressful. But it's, like, we made it work. I got a job. He, got, you know, got into school. Like, things were fine.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Because I feel like that reminds me of when I graduated from grad school. I had no idea what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. No prospect of a job. No plan. I had to find a place to live because my lease was up. Roommates were moving out. And I, zero money. And I just took a leap. And I think what you're saying and what I'm connecting to is, like, I haven't taken a leap in a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been really comfortable for the past 10 years. And I know no one from my work listens, but, like, one or two people. So if you guys are listening, I'm not, like, quitting my job. That's not what I'm saying. But, like,
right, whether you're going back to school.
But, like the next phase is something that I think needs to be, like, a leap of some sort. Because I've been so comfortable for so long. I think that's what I'm, like, really connecting to is what you're saying. Is like, wow, I really haven't, like, taken a huge leap. Like, I've done some cool things here and there, like, accomplishing, like, goals, full, like, you set a goal and you accomplish it, but not like that full-on place where you're like, I have no idea how this is gonna work, but I'm just gonna trust that it's gonna work.
Well, and I think also it's like, you know, there is a fine line between doing something, between taking a leap and just making a stupid choice.
Yes, totally agree.
But I think that goes back to, like, the researching of it, you know. And it's like, you, like, just, like, doing something, making a leap does not have to be impulsive.
No.
You know, it's like, you can still do the research. You can still make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you still have to just be like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
And I think also, like, it's just,
well, I think it's inspired action. It's inspired action versus impulsive action.
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, we're both lucky in the sense that we have a family and a community that, you know, if we absolutely hit rock bottom, we would have a support system.
Right.
You know, and I think that that makes, but I, like, I just remember when Brandon and I first moved to Denver, my mom just kept saying, you can't fall from the floor. That was, like, the most, you know, that was, like,
oh, I love that.
That was, like, the best advice she could give me, because it was, like, we had nothing. We had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And she was just, like, you can't fall from the floor.
You're all good.
Yeah.
You are set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also, there's this quote from J.K. Rowling that I love, where she says, rock bottom became the firm foundation on which I built the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it's, like, not to say that, like, you have to hit rock bottom.
No.
But even if you do.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah.
We kind of just have to, like, stop thinking about, like, I also think that it's so silly to, and I've been thinking about this a lot, like, I was saying about, you know, like, kids or moving or if Brandon's going to go to school or if I'm going to go to school or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so silly for me to think that I can have a 10-year plan.
I know.
10 years ago, I was 16.
Oh, my,
like,
gosh.
What, can you imagine the things that have happened in my life since then? Like,
oh, totally.
I would have had no, when I was 16, I thought I was going to be a fashion designer in New York City.
Wow.
I shit you not. I haven't even, I own one pair of jeans.
Yeah.
I am not. I am the polar opposite of a fashion designer.
You're,
like,
very opposite.
Really?
Yeah. I'm trying to think where I was 10 years ago.
Even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to graduate from college, go to journalism school, get a degree in environmental journalism, and work for a science journal. And I studied for the GRE. I took the GRE, and then CU's journalism school got shut down the semester before I was going to apply. Like, you just can't know.
You don't know.
It's like, you can think, you know, you can plan all you want, and it just doesn't matter.
I think the 20s and going into your 30s, you're almost, for at least my experience, you're almost forced into those situations where you kind of have to take these leaps and you have to just say, well, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. But I think what I'm experiencing in my 30s is that things are so stable.
Yeah.
And I've established the job. I've established the house. I've established the marriage. I've established the animals. You've checked
all the boxes.
Yeah, I checked all the boxes. And now it's kind of like, well, we've got this. But now, you know, it's almost like too comfortable. Yeah. As stupid as that sounds.
No, totally.
So for me, I'm just that type of person that needs to keep growing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is the piece that's missing. And it's not to say I have to do this, like, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert, like, right, sell everything and move and go on a trip from across the world.
Right.
But
you could.
To keep thinking about that. Yeah. I'm going to think about that.
Yeah.
That's a really good, I feel like a lot was just accomplished now. I feel like I had an epiphany.
Good.
I hope you did too.
Therapy.
So we're almost out of time. So let's talk about Saturday, because I hope.
Oh yeah.
I hope you guys, the Denver local people, are coming to our party on Saturday.
Saturday at 2 at CrossFit J, which is on 19th and Federal. Bring your Ollie shoes or your weightlifting belt, or if you don't have any of those things, just feel free to bring.
Just stop by.
Anything.
We just want to see you.
You don't have to bring anything. You could bring a print out of a picture of Rich Froning,
yeah,
and just
please do
bedazzle a frame to put
maybe
it in.
Maybe bring a wristband. You can bedazzle little sweatbands. That's what I would do.
I mean, we're also going to
wear some glitter on your eyes.
We're going to have our Girls Gone Wild tanks for sale. The only size we don't have is a medium. I think we have a couple of smalls, some larges, and a couple extra larges. Anyway, if you need a tank, bring a check or cash, and we will hook you up with a tank that you can bedazzle. I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to meet everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't RSVP'd, you can go on our Facebook page and we posted a link there so you can
let
us know you're showing up. And
even if you can only come for part of it or you're going to be late, that's totally fine.
We just want to see you. We just want to see you at some point during the day. It would be amazing to meet you.
Yes.
So thank you.
Yay.
What else? The next time we record, will we have done an open WOD? No.
We will not have do an open WOD. They will be
announcing
the first open WOD the day our next episode comes out.
That's exciting.
That's right. Thursday through Monday or something now, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to figure that shit out.
All right. I feel like we just
feel better about your life.
I feel like I gotta go make some phone calls now.
See ya. All right. Well, we will talk to you guys next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.